This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's in London, and he's helped me sort out a story that flummoxed me. Mr. Sunak is at odds with the Tory party, his own party. Well, apparently there's a wind faction divided between the onshore wind and the offshore wind. I'm not making this up. Joe's guided me on this. And the prime minister, I believe he's reversed himself. Joe, help me.
So the question here is where you're going to build the windmills. And one thing that has been going on in the increasingly dysfunctional Conservative Party in the UK is that, especially under Boris Johnson, the party really embraced environmentalism, net zero carbon emissions, a rush for renewable power. And the problem you then run into is that the Conservative Party is split between a NIMBY faction, you know, not in my backyard, the people who always object to any development or construction anywhere in the pristine, beautiful countryside, and a faction of the party that is actually willing to build things like houses or windmills in the British countryside, because that's actually something that the British economy requires. So Rishi Sunak had thought that the majority of the party was the NIMBY wing that only wanted to build new windmills if they could be done out in the ocean, offshore, not obstructing the pristine views of the beautiful hills and dales of the British countryside. But now he faces a rebellion from the Tories, who understand that if you're going to do wind, you are going to have to build a lot of it. And that will include putting the windmills on land where they might interfere with a vista or two. And so this created a rebellion, which I think is now ultimately going to end up pushing Rishi Sunak into tolerating windmills on land at the cost of irritating the NIMBY faction of the Conservative Party. So this is really both a story about environmental policy dysfunction within the Conservatives and also just basic dysfunction in terms of the Conservatives' inability to behave as if they are a serious governing party.
So he was against the onshore wind turbines before he was for them, and check with us later. Joe, does this connect to his reversal of Liz Truss's opportunity to explore fracking?
Well, yes. I mean, that was another of these weird issues where on fracking and shale gas, you ended up having the Conservatives who supported it being very much in the minority. And the other difference here is that the Labour Party was perfectly happy to support renewable energy like windmills on land if they think that supporting that will embarrass the Tories. But they had their own reasons because of the environmental wing within the opposition Labour Party for also opposing shale gas fracking. So you were never going to get a majority for fracking in Parliament, but you could get a majority in favor of onshore wind farms to embarrass Rishi Sunak. So, I mean, good luck to Rishi or any other Conservative leader trying to navigate the hedge maze of all of these competing factions within the Conservative Party right now.
I'm beginning to understand that the job of Prime Minister is to be where everybody is at that moment and not to certainly set down roots. You know, don't commit yourself. Just go with the crowd. Now, Joe, there's one more issue that Mr. Sunak and his chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, must deal with. And I read about it all the time. This word windfall seems to be magical in London. What is the opinion of the new prime minister and his chancellor about windfall taxes, especially when it comes to BP and other large energy companies?
Oh, they are for windfall taxes because the windfall profits have been politically controversial when energy prices are going up. And the reality is that a lot of people don't understand the energy market or the nature of that business there and don't realize that actually energy prices are very high because of government net zero policies and not because of profiteering or gouging by the oil companies. But, you know, since no politician wants to explain any of that, instead it's become popular to blame windfall profits for high prices. And I think that the Conservatives are in danger of becoming more and more dependent on these tax proposals for revenue, because they are very likely to end up being disappointed by the revenue that will result from all of the other tax increases that they've tried to implement. And yet the warning coming from the oil companies is, look, you try to do too many of these windfall taxes, we will stop drilling, we won't explore as much, and then you'll have less revenue from that windfall tax after all anyway.
So it's not fixed yet. It's still being debated. We have 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, they seem pretty certain that they're going to push ahead with the windfall profit tax, but what is not fixed is the energy company investment that would be necessary in order to have the production on which to pay the tax years into the future.
I see. So the debate continues, because if you drive away your best revenue source, what have you? You have a position that doesn't pay. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, and I noted he's the author of The Theft of a Decade. We're about to turn to that story in the U.S. Not theft so much as one generation, the millennials, and another Zoom, another generation, the boomers. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.